This is verse number 4, page number 220. The very first sentence says, Sankhya Yoga Prithak Balaha Pravadanti Na Panditaha. He says it is only children, Balaha Pravadanti, it is children who speak as prithak, as different. Sankhya and Yoga, path of knowledge and path of action, that they are different, only children speak of it. Na Panditaha. Those who are really learned, they don't say that they are different. Ekam api asthitaha samyak ubayoho vindate phalam. Even while following one, you get the fruit of both. That is, it only can happen when Jnana Yoga becomes Karma Yoga and Karma Yoga becomes Jnana Yoga. That is the real truth. There is no opposition between the two. Then he says, yat sankhyehi prapyate sthanam, tat yogahi api gamyate. What is obtained by sankhya is also obtained by karma yoga. Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha yah pashyati sa pashyati. One who sees that sankhya and yoga are one, it is he who really perceives truly. These are very clear words of the Bhagavad Gita. There are no two interpretations possible. Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha yah pashyati sa pashyati. There is no cleavage between action and knowledge. In fact, in the third and fourth chapter, Sri Krishna makes it very clear that you are not a karma yogi unless you are established in knowledge. If you don't perceive that Lord is the doer, unless you know that the Lord is the doer, what is the karma yoga you are doing? Mere action, doing action is not karma yoga, even S does the action. Even a clerk sitting in his post office goes on doing work is not a karma yogi. Karma yoga arises only when you become aware, when you know that Lord is the doer. Unless you do this, there is no karma yoga. And the moment you know, it is the path of knowledge. Unless the knowledge and action are united together, neither Sankhya is Sankhya nor Karma Yoga is Karma Yoga. So we have got to say, Ekam Sankhyam cha Yogam cha yah pashyati saha pashyati. One who really perceives, truly perceives, only when you see that Sankhya and Yoga are one and the same. It is in this context that now Sri Krishna will answer the question, Sanyasta Karma. What is the meaning of renunciation of action? Now, this is one great theme of this chapter. The other theme of chapter number 5 and chapter number 6 is centered upon Arjuna's question, which is located upon the fickleness of the human mind. This is another theme of Arjuna's questioning throughout the Gita. Arjuna says that whatever may be your teaching, your ultimate stress is upon controlling the senses and the mind, whether it is Sankhya path or the Karma path. But your constant emphasis upon the control of the senses and control of the mind. And how difficult it is to control the mind. Is there any method by which this mind can be controlled? This is another theme of chapter number 5 and 6. You will come across this question, that even if I agree that Sankhya and Yoga are one, ultimately, your emphasis upon this fact that you have to control the senses and you have to control your mind. And how difficult it is. So tell me, what is the best way of doing this? Because even if you are very, very knowledgeable, ultimately you are still guided by senses. We are still driven by senses. It is so difficult to control it. This is the question he had raised earlier also, and in 5th and 6th also he raises this question. Until Sri Krishna is obliged to answer this question in detail and says that it is true that mind is very difficult to control. And if you find that mind is very difficult in your case, then I'll give you a very extreme advice. I'll give you a whole system in which the whole emphasis is laid upon the control of the senses and of the mind. Therefore, the 6th chapter is entitled Dhyana Yoga. It is an answer to this very important question that since control of the senses and control of the mind is so necessary, and since it is extremely pressing that this control becomes impossible, therefore, he says that there is a method which starts with this very thing, control of the senses and control of the mind. So 6th chapter, part of it is given only to this question. The third question that is debated in 5th and 6th chapters are related to what is called the power of Prakriti in determining everything in the world. This is connected with the power of the senses and the mind. Just as it is difficult to control the senses and control of the mind, a larger question is it possible to overcome the rule of Prakriti, which is so much spread in the whole world? The whole world is nothing but a network of sattva, rajas and tamas. It's not only a question of senses and the mind, but everything in the world is nothing but a network of sattva, rajas and tamas. The question that Arjuna asks is it at all possible to overcome this entire rule of sattva, rajas and tamas? Because if divine action is the ultimate goal of Sankhya and Yoga, which are one, and since divine action is above sattva, rajas and tamas, but since rajas, sattva and tamas is nothing in the whole world, can you go out of the world and be free from sattva, rajas and tamas? If so, what is that element in us by which we can go out of it? Prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. This is one of the very famous sentences of the Gita, that everything is ruled by Prakriti. Prakritim yanti bhutani, all the creatures of the world, they are ruled, they move in the path of Prakriti. Is there something else than Prakriti by which this Prakriti can be ruled? This is another question which is debated in these 2 chapters.